I'm riding in an old school bus towards a volcano covered in clouds way off in the distance. I'm James Harper, and this is Filter Stories. I'm in Western Panama, arriving into a small town called Boquete. I'm here to meet Tito Badgas, a man with an extraordinary story.
Don Tito, hola, mucho gusto.
Igual.
We head for dinner. Tito orders burgers while a TV blares in the background.
Bueno, popularmente y para muchas personas soy Tito, Tito Vargas.
Tito doesn't speak English, so you're going to hear an actor.
Hi, I'm Tito. Well, everybody here calls me Tito, Tito Vargas.
Yo vengo de una familia humilde, o sea...
I come from a humble family. We all work in coffee plantations.
And to begin Tito's story, we're going to teleport to a different dinner table, all the way back in 1980s Panama. Tito is 18 years old, and he's sat at the dinner table with his parents. You know, his mother passes his father a bowl of beans. The TV in the background is blasting another advert for Lada, a Russian car. It's an ordinary night for the Vargas family. But not for long, because Tito is squirming in his chair. His palms are sweaty, his heart's pounding. In a few minutes, he is going to reveal a huge secret. And to understand why Tito is so nervous, there are three things you need to know about Tito. For one, he loves coffee.
I began with this idea, no, this dream. I'm going to have a coffee farm. I would say to my family, to my father, to my mother. I said, when I grow up, I'm going to have a farm.
And as Tito grows up into a teenager, his dream of owning a coffee farm is finally in reach. Tito has worked throughout high school and squirreled away his savings. And now he's saved up a fortune.
Eso era mucha plata, como 20,
it was a lot of money. I mean, like $20,000 is just too much money to just throw it into an education.
So what did you do instead?
Bueno, la idea era invertir.
So, well, the idea was to buy a property, a coffee farm, no?
Cosa que mi padre
my parents didn't agree.
And Tito's parents wanted Tito to invest the $20,000 for a completely different career.
What dreams did your parents have for you?
Bueno, querían que estudiara.
They wanted me to study. They wanted me to...
Querían que estudiara ingeniería.
To study engineering.
Tito's eyes well up. This is the second thing you need to know about Tito. He deeply loves his parents. He chokes up almost every time he mentions them. Tito doesn't care whether the farm will make money or not. He sees this as an opportunity to be closer to his retired father. A piece of land where father can teach son how to grow coffee. But Tito's father doesn't care about his retirement. He wants his 18-year-old son to invest the 20 grand to become an engineer. And this is the third thing you gotta know about Tito. He is the ultimate contrarian.
De verdad que he sido muy rebelde, ¿no?
Well, the truth is, I've always been a rebel, no? Like, I have always done the things like against the recommendation of advisors or consultants, the professionals, no?
And back in 1980s Panama, there was a lot for Tito to rebel against.
No había como una igualdad, no había como respeto.
There was no equality, no respect. It was a system of dictatorship.
At this time, Panama has an ugly government. Noriega is the military dictator, and he's making a personal fortune, trafficking drugs, rigging elections, intimidating and murdering his enemies.
tal vez la misma situación política que se vivía en el país me fue
llevando. Maybe also the situation of the country forced me to choose a way of life that look, I didn't want to support the dictatorship.
For Tito, a little piece of land high up on the slopes of a volcano is the perfect sanctuary from the ugliness of 1980s Panama. And that's why, back at that dinner table, Tito is so nervous right now because, well, he had $20,000 to spend on his education. No longer. Tito buys 5 hectares of land where he plans to grow coffee. How did that conversation go?
Esto, claro que no la asimilaban, no la aceptaban, pero ya estaba hecha, ¿no?
Well, they didn't agree. They didn't accept it. But what's done is done.
Young, rebellious Tito is now on a mission to prove to his parents that buying the farm is a better investment than getting an education. But of all the farms Tito could have bought, he chose quite possibly one of the worst. Here's Tito's sister Jackie, also played by an actor.
Realmente la finca era anteriormente.
Well, actually, the farm, it was before a cattle farm, so that's why the soil was very damaged. And when my father came and saw it, he says, let's see if anything's going to grow here. Because the farm, it was very deteriorated.
Tito is boiling some water in an old, worn-out kettle, and he's going to make me a coffee. For the next few years, Tito wakes up at 5 a.m. every day and works on the farm in the morning alongside his retired father. To make a living, he hustles in town from 3 p.m. to midnight, operating a mechanic shop and sometimes driving taxis. His coffee trees grow and grow, and then, in the early 90s, he finally gets his first full harvest. And then the global price for coffee collapses. We're going to need a cup of coffee to get through this next part of the story.
Big or small?
Big, gracias.
The international price for coffee is a quarter of what it was just a few years before. From $2 a pound to as low as 35 cents.
Y mucha gente amiga me decían que estaba loco, o sea, el único loco que sembraba.
All my friends, everybody was telling me I was crazy. The only lunatic growing coffee with so low prices was me.
This is a disaster for every coffee farmer in the world. Now, we're going to pause Tito's story for a sec while we investigate what's happening over the fence in the farm's neighboring Tito's. Because they are in a massive crisis. And they are very different. They're huge, 10 times the size of Tito's farm. And they're rich, because these are coffee estates. Many of these farms had been bought by wealthy Westerners and had been passed down in the families for generations. I bumped into one of the owners of these estates, Ricardo Coiner, in a convention center recently.
Oh yes, I remember 60 cents a pound. You know, the cost of our production was much higher than that. We pretty much had to give everything to the picker.
Is that when you decided to get out of the coffee business?
Not only us, but every coffee grower was just saying, you know, we're going to either plant potatoes or onions or something else because it's not possible to keep this.
But these estates saw a ray of light in the dark coffee market. Some coffees were getting consistently high prices. Hawaiian Kona, Jamaican Blue Mountain. When the international price of coffee collapsed to below a dollar a pound, the Hawaiians and the Jamaicans were selling their coffees at much higher prices. And that's because these coffees have unusual, distinctive flavors. They are sweet, with flavors of maybe fruit or spice and a very luscious feeling in the mouth. The Panamanian estates were growing something much less interesting. I find Daniel Peterson at the same conference. His family owns one of the larger estates near Tito's farm. I asked him, what did Panama coffee taste like back in the 90s?
Coffee's of Panama, and when I say traditional coffee of Panama, it's going to have a nice chocolatey flavor with a bit citrus to it and just a light floral.
So the neighboring coffee estates near Tito ask themselves, how can we make our coffee taste as unique as the Hawaiian and Jamaican coffees? And they look to the wine industry and they realize what they need to do. Because the owners of wineries experiment all the time. They plant different varieties of grape in different places, play around with how the wine is aged, wood casks, metal casks. The coffee estates had none of this. They weren't experimenting. And for the next 10 years, these estates have their work cut out for them. Meanwhile, Tito is on his little farm and he's getting paid just 40 cents a pound for his red coffee cherries.
Fueron épocas muy duras, muy difíciles, o sea, porque
it was hard, very difficult times. I mean, you see your friends, they graduated, they get jobs, professions, they go institutions, and I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere.
Empecé a escuchar a los viejos.
So I finally listened to my parents. I decided to sell the farm after so many years of sacrifice, and I haven't got anything out of it.
Tito starts spreading the word in the community that his farm is up for sale. But as you can imagine, no one's interested in Tito's unprofitable coffee farm. And that's when he gets an idea.
After putting the farm up for sale, nobody wanted it. So I had this brilliant idea. I'm going to process coffee.
Okay, let me explain. At the moment, Tito makes money by picking off the red coffee cherries and delivering them to a local mill. The local mill buys Tito's red coffee cherries for 40 cents a pound. Then they process the red cherries into green beans. The mill jacks up the price and then sells the green beans up the supply chain, eventually arriving to a roaster who turns them brown, and then they jack up the price again and they sell it to you. Tito realizes he can earn more money if he just copies what the mill does. He just needs to get his hands on the same machines.
Well, I talked to my father and I told him we're going to process coffee. And well, he told me, like, oh, now you are crazy. Because processing coffees is a very big thing. The machinery for processing coffee, only big companies, big farms have that machinery.
But this doesn't stop Tito. He carries bundles of paper from bank to bank to persuade them to give him the money to buy the machines. And of course, they think he's insane as well. How did it make you feel getting rejected?
Lógicamente defraudado, no sé, o engañado.
I felt let down. I felt betrayed, actually. But it was okay. I promised myself I'm not going to go to those guys ever again. It was like a second time being a rebel. You know, I thought, if we cannot buy the machines, we're going to build it ourselves.
So Tito begins tinkering away, building every machine he needs to turn his red coffee cherries into packaged, roasted coffee sitting on a shop shelf. He finds random scrap parts from rusty old vehicles and busted up kitchen appliances and tries to imitate the industrial machinery. For example, he tries to build a roasting machine to turn the green beans brown. he finds a drum from an old washing machine and an old car engine and fiddles them around to get them to work together. The day finally arrives to turn on the roaster. Compressed gas is about to shoot into a tank with fire and electricity wires everywhere.
The first time we turned on the machine, we put it behind a wall to protect ourselves. Because we didn't know if it was going to explode or if it was going to function at all.
What did the first coffee taste like that you roasted yourself?
Malo, a nadie le gustaba, ¿no?
Awful. Nobody liked it.
After a few years, Tito built everything he needs to produce roasted coffee on the farm. But now he has another problem. He can't find anyone to sell the coffee to. The big estates surrounding him have export licenses, and they ship most of their coffee outside of Panama. Tito is trying to sell his coffee in his small little town, but there just aren't enough people to buy all his coffee. And as his house fills with bags and bags of unsold coffee, his friends just make fun of him.
People were asking me, where are you going to sell this coffee? And I was like, well, if I don't sell it here in town, I send it to Japan.
I mean, Tito is, of course, joking. He may as well have said he's going to sell his coffee to the president of the United States. What did your friend say when you said that?
Well,
before they thought I was crazy. And now they confirm I was absolutely insane.
Undeterred, Tito now tries to get an export license. He wants to copy the big estates and sell his coffee outside of Panama.
So I was finishing the paperwork, and then my dad passed away.
Tito's sister Jackie remembers this time well.
Le fue muy difícil. Psicológicamente estuvo muy afectado. Después, poco a poco, cuando
at the beginning, it was very difficult for him. Psychologically, he was very affected. But then, you know, little by little, he got better. And he understood that's life. This is our reality. We're born, we have a family, and then we pass away.
And 2 years later, Tito's mother also passes away. And just as he gets his papers finalized to export his coffee, coffee prices, again, collapse. They collapse to their lowest level in 30 years.
It was
such a traumatic time. Well, as I told you, my parents had passed away. Then the economical situation, the business is not running. We had a lot of problems. So I thought, and many of my friends also suggested it to me, I have to free myself from the farm. I have to sell. I have to sell it and get money, as much money as I can, and maybe live a good life after that.
El acceso al internet se publicitó mejor.
When the internet had arrived, so we advertised it in internet, and we even paid advertisement in national newspapers. We were trying to get as many buyers as we could for getting the best price.
And what was the reaction?
Interesados? No.
For any price?
Nada. O sea, no... No hubieron oferta, pues.
There was absolutely no interest.
No apareció ningún loco que...
No one was crazy enough to pay for a piece of land, coffee trees, and a pile of junk, rusty junk, my machines. No one.
And how did that feel at the time?
Well,
a lot of thoughts came and went, but, well, I understood I had to continue with the farm.
This is how Tito remembers the story, but his sister Jackie sees things differently.
Ofrecieron comprarla, pero luego dijo que no.
He did receive offers, yes, but then he said no.
Pienso que puede que haya
maybe because he thought about all the sacrifices our father made for the farm.
En la propiedad.
So he decided not to sell it.
The trees on Tito's farm are the same trees his father helped him plant. And he chooses not to lose that connection. In the early 2000s, tourism begins picking up in Tito's small town, and he sees that he can earn a little money from tourists who are very curious to see his Frankenstein machines.
I don't remember the day or the year, but we had a tour in the farm. We had visitors visiting the farm, and one of the visitors, he liked my coffee. And he said he was maybe interested also in buying. It was nothing out of the ordinary. The whole time come people that like the coffee and that they're interested and all that, rah, 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 but at the end you don't do any business. And then some days or weeks later, an email came and it was our first order.
Que se les preparara para un primer envío a Japón, ¿no?
You know, we had to do our first shipment out of Panama to Japan.
Y el precio obtenido, ¿no?
And the price.
Que fue de 1.90 por libra.
We got 1.90 per pound.
Ese sí fue un día muy grande, ¿no?
That was a great day.
To understand why all of a sudden Tito was exporting his coffee at a much fairer price, we need to jump the fence to Tito's neighbors, the estates. Because the experimental trees they'd been planting for 10 years were finally producing coffee cherries. And one day, the guy we heard from earlier, Daniel Peterson, he slurped a coffee from one of his experimental trees.
This coffee, you know, it was loud. It was elegant, loud, delicate, coming out with jasmine fruity notes, and it blew me away because that's not what you would expect of a Panama coffee back in 2004 on a cupping table.
This coffee variety is called Geisha. It's an unusual variety that nobody had paid much attention to. And as an aside, there's a debate in coffee right now as to whether it's called Geisha or Geisha. I'm going with Geisha. Geisha was brought to Central America in the 50s from Ethiopia. From the 1950s onwards, Geisha quietly spread to Panama because farmers liked that it was resistant to a nasty disease. But nobody really cared what it tasted like. But Daniel discovered that the coffee tastes amazing in the soil around his and Tito's volcanic farms, especially when it's grown very high up. And the Japanese buyer realized that Tito had Geisha. And not only that, the fact that Tito's farm is so high, his Geisha variety tastes especially amazing. Tito now owns some of the most highly prized coffee-growing land in the world. He has joined an incredibly small group of coffee farms who sell their entire harvest even before the coffee is picked. As our interview winds up, I see a bag of roasted coffee on the shelf behind Tito with the word Coffee Royal I asked Tito to explain why he chose the name Royal.
Nació el nombre Royal, que es...
These are the initials of the name of my mother, Rosa.
De mi madre, que se llamaba Rosa, y de mi papá, Alfredo.
And the name of my father, Alfredo. Rosa y Alfredo.
De Rosa y Alfredo. Ya creo que mis padres no se han ido.
They haven't left.
Creo que están aquí.
They're still here.
Thank you for listening. Stick around until after the credits to get a sneak peek into the next episode of Filter Stories. This episode was really challenging to put together because, well, Tito doesn't speak English. But I really wanted to do justice to his life story. That's why I spent weeks finding a professional Spanish actor, and we huddled over a microphone doing take after take for hours to find Tito's true character. It would have been so much easier to get a generic voiceover or just ask a friend. If you think going that extra mile was worth it, please share this episode with your friends and write a review on iTunes. Because the bigger we can grow the Filter Stories community, the more episodes I can make for you. Now, a few thank yous before we get to the sneak peek for the next episode. I am so grateful to Oscar Peña Sanchez of Mucho Gusto Panama. Oscar hooked me up with Tito, acted as a translator, and was so incredibly generous with his time.
You can always look for my website. It's called muchogustopanama.com. And if you come to town in Boquete and you want to find me, just ask for Oscar. Ask for Oscar.
The episode was mixed by Dom Edgley, a Berlin-based sound engineer. If you need to perfect audio for your videos, visit domedgleysound.com. The Filter Stories logo was created by Headquarters, a branding and packaging design team. Are you a roaster? Or are you looking for new packaging? Send a hello to Headquarters. You can check out their beautiful work on their website, www.headquarters.studio. A big thanks to Jackie, Axel, and Tito Vargas, Daniel Peterson, Manuel Basayo of Paddle Coffee Roasters in Panama City, Francia Gonzalez, Maria Ruiz, Ricardo Coiner, Wilfred Lamastis, and John Matias. Thanks to Ciara Gillen, Aurora Sanchez, Kalata Aoun, Kinga Pensak, and Nate Sawatsky for providing editorial help. Tito and Jackie were acted by Eneko Sanz and Anna Cavallis. I produced and edited the episode and wrote and performed the piano music. Follow Filter Stories on Instagram at Filter Stories Podcast and visit filterstories.org to sign up to the newsletter, because every newsletter contains recommendations to other really good story podcasts and tips on how to brew even better coffee at home. And now, next time, on Filter Stories. What time of the day was it when you first heard the shouting?
Probably 5 a.m. I was taking a shower and I heard some noises outside. So I got out, I dressed with a blue jean.
This is Alfonso Robelo, a Nicaraguan politician, businessman, and co-owner of a coffee farm in the 1980s. When Alfonso walks to the window, he sees a mob of people. In a panic, he walks over to his daughter, Indiana's room, and wakes her up.
Somebody knocked on my door, the door of my room, and we all went to my father's room. They cut the electricity, they cut the telephones.
At one point in time, things were getting very loud, and they were shouting and throwing stones.
It was very scary. Like, Robelo, pare don.
The mob were shouting they wanted her father, Alfonso, murdered by firing squad.
And I had a hunting rifle. I cannot have this weapon and don't use it if this is in my home, or else I will feel I am a coward or I cannot protect my family. What will they do? Will they rape them? What?
And he was walking from one north to south or from one place to another, desperate.
Aquiles. Next time on Filter Stories.